For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Success of the Early Church, as we pick up in Acts chapter 16, verse 5. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
The early church was a powerful church. It was a successful church. And as we will soon see, it was a church that was under the direct governing power of the Holy Spirit. He was guiding the activities of the early church, and I believe that that was the reason for success. It was a tragic day when in the church, man decided to substitute the work of the Holy Spirit with his own work. Paul wrote to the Galatians later, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you would so soon turn from the truth? Having begun in the Spirit, will you now be made perfect in the flesh? And I'm sure if Paul were writing to the general church today, the whole church, he would write an epistle to the Church of Jesus Christ of the 20th century. O foolish people, who hath bewitched you that you should turn from the truth? Having begun, the church having begun in the Spirit, do you think that you can perfect it, complete it in the flesh? And yet, when we look at the church today and we see all of the man-made programs, all of the fleshly hype, I'm hyped to death when I turn on television or when I listen to the radio or some, thank you, brother, whoever you were, put me on the mailing list of some of these high-powered evangelist who have more gimmicks than I can believe to get me to send them an offering. You just can't believe. Well, I don't want to get into that. Now, these churches, without the programs, the pressures, and without all of these modern conveniences and assists that we have today, were increasing daily just as the result of the Word of God being taught and the fellowship of the body growing. Their numbers increased daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow them. And so they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. Now, Paul is trying to move north into Asia, but every attempt he makes is being blocked by the Spirit. Now, it is interesting that it tells us that the Spirit forbid them to go and preach the word in Asia. The Spirit would not allow them to go to Bithynia. How is it that the Spirit forbid them? By what process? It is interesting they do not tell us by what process. Was there a word of prophecy that came? Surely Paul would have had to have been assured that the prophecy was from the Lord because he was a strong-willed person. How did the Spirit forbid them? We really don't know. Many believe that the Spirit forbid them through Paul's sickness. That Paul was just too sick to travel. Now, you remember when Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, you remember how that when I was with you, notice they were passing through Galatia here, how I ministered to you out of great weakness, physical infirmity. And you showed such great love and concern for me because of my physical infirmities. I think that that does give us a very strong hint of the method of the Lord in stopping Paul. It is interesting, as I said, he was a very stubborn kind of a person. I mean, he was one that was hard to stop. When he wanted to do something, he was going to do it no matter what. When he was determined to go back to Jerusalem, there was no stopping him. His friends, when the prophecy came and said, you know, you're going to be in prison when you get to Jerusalem, and his friends began to weep and say, oh, Paul, don't go. They're going to throw you in jail. He said, hey, what do you mean by these tears? You're trying to dissuade me? Don't you realize that I'm not afraid of being thrown in jail? I'm ready to die for Jesus in Jerusalem. So you just don't stop those fellows with a tap on the shoulder and say, I don't think you ought to go there. Paul's an unstoppable kind of a fellow. And this is a good characteristic in one sense. Surely he would not have been able to endure all of the hardships of his missionary ventures had he not had this strong, powerful spirit. Yet, our strong points can also sometimes be our weak points. And if this strong point is not totally yielded to God, then it can become a weak point in my life. And it means that when God wants to direct me, he has to get pretty tough. And it is possible that Paul was so determined to go to Asia that God had to put him on his back and make him so sick he couldn't get out of bed. And after several days in bed, not able hardly to roll over, he said, well, the Spirit forbid us to go to Asia. And so then we attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow us. And so we went on to Troy. So there at Troas, Paul had a vision, and there appeared to Paul in the night a man of Macedonia, and he prayed to him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul, in a night vision, saw this man from Macedonia crying for help. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Now notice, here we have a plural pronoun, we. You remember that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. This is the first time the personal pronoun is used. So it is no doubt here at Troas where Luke met Paul, and it is very possible that the reason why Luke met Paul is because Luke was a physician and Paul was so sick he was about to die. That's one possibility. There are others who believe that Luke was the man that Paul saw in his vision, crying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Whatever the case may be, now Luke turns to the personal plural pronouns, because at this point, Luke became a companion with Paul. Notice it in the rest of the verse. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. So the we and the us, as Luke joins Paul's party at this point. God directing Paul's ministry by a vision is one of the ways by which God can direct people into their various ministries. I do know of a man, Dr. Edwards, who was the president of a bank in San Jose, who committed his life to Jesus Christ, and who really felt called of God to serve the Lord. And thus he began to take courses and study, though he was a bank president, to leave the bank, to retire from the banking business, and to go full-time into the ministry. And as he was preparing himself and waiting upon God, he received one night a vision of this old gray-haired man standing behind a plow with a field that was only partly plowed. And this old man called to him and said, "Come to Panama and help me harvest the souls that are here." And so he took that as a call of God, studied the Spanish language, and then went down to Panama to carry the gospel to the Panamanians. He established a very successful work in Panama City, and one evening he received a call from one of the doctors at the hospital there in Panama, and he said, "We have an old man who doesn't seem to have any friends or family, and he's dying, and we thought it might be well if there were a minister here to just talk to him. He seems to be delirious." And so Dr. Edwards went to the hospital, and when the nurse led him to the room, to his amazement, the old man was the man that he saw in his vision. And he became very curious about this old man. And so he began to inquire, and they found out that he was a Cumberland Presbyterian missionary. They really didn't know much of what was accomplished through his work there, but Dr. Edwards was so amazed that here is the very same man he saw in his vision in San Jose when he felt the call of God to go to Panama. And he felt really that he was completing the harvest that this man had begun, who had established just a few mission stations out in the bush of Panama. So God is not limited by his means. I have never had a vision, nor was I directed by an angel or vision or whatever to go into the ministry. God's call upon my heart was different. I just felt a strong urge to go into the ministry. God just placed a deep desire in my heart to commit my life to him. And so I always thought it would have been exciting had the Lord sent some angel along or had given me some vision and there had been some dramatic experience of which I could testify to you tonight of how God came to me in the night hours and suddenly the room began to glow with a strange incandescence, you know, and all of this. And I heard this voice say, "Chuck, you know, I want you, you know." But nothing like that happened to me. It was interesting. When I was in Bible college, I met several young people who did testify of these kind of experiences. And I was always extremely fascinated by their testimonies. However, just as a point of interest, all of those fellows who had these remarkable testimonies, I don't know of any of them who are still in the ministry today. I think that emotions are great. To have a strong emotional experience in your relationship with God is wonderful. I have had some pretty powerful emotional experiences in my worship of God. But yet, it is more important even than a powerful emotional experience is to found my life upon the Word and my faith upon the Word. Our faith has to be established in fact. God's word is the fact upon which my faith is established, and that way my faith never wavers because God's word never changes. Now, if I am founding my faith in some experience that I have had, then I'm in dangerous water because I may get another contrary experience, or the experience can fade, emotions can wane, but the Word of God remains, and thus my faith must be established in God's Word, and my ministry must be established according to the Word of God, not according to some exciting, remarkable, fiery letters in the sky that I saw at one time when I was watching a sunset. So Paul was directed by this vision. He sought immediately to answer it. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came in a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. The winds were with them, and they headed straight across from Troas to Neapolis, which was the port city of Philippi. It took them only 2 days. They had good winds. They were carrying them the direction they wanted to go. Later, Paul made this same crossing. It took 5 days. But God is guiding him now to Macedonia. He endeavors to obey the call of God. The winds are with him, and he comes right across to Macedonia. Sometimes, as we're serving the Lord, the winds are with us. Things go smooth. We're cooking right along. Other times, hey, it's a heavy push all the way. You know, it seems like you're rowing all the way. The wind is against you. But it doesn't mean that I'm out of the will of God because it is difficult now. And I cannot really just say, well, God, which direction do you want me to go, you know? And try to determine which way is the wind blowing and then head that direction. Now, from Neapolis, they went to Philippi, which, of course, was a Roman colony. Philippi was an important city in history. This is where Brutus was defeated by, that consort of Cleopatra, Mark Antony, in that critical battle there at Philippi. And so they were in that city abiding certain days. So they're now in a whole new environment. People are, they're into Greece, they're into Europe. It's different from the Asian culture. And they're just there for several days doing really nothing. But on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, the fact that there was no synagogue in Philippi indicates that there were not 10 adult Jewish males in the town. Whenever in any city there were 10 adult Jewish males, they would have a synagogue. In the towns where they had less than that number of adult Jewish males, not enough to have a synagogue, then they usually would meet by a river for prayer, and they would go through the Sabbath prayers by a river. And so Paul found out where they were meeting, and he went down, and evidently there weren't any Jewish men believers, just women that were there. And so Paul sat down, and he spoke to the women which had gathered there by the river to pray. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, who was from Thyatira, she was actually from Asia, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide." And she constrained us. Now, notice she was a seller of purple, and I might say she no doubt was a very successful businesswoman. Notice the way she puts the pressure on Paul and the party. "Now, if you have counted me worthy, then come and stay at my house." Well, you know, if you don't stay, then you're saying, "No, woman, you're not worthy," you know. And so she puts it in such a way. She no doubt was a very good salesperson. She was surely able to put the pressure on Paul and the party. "If you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, then come and stay at my house." And she constrained us.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 16. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and watch over you and keep you through the week. May you be strengthened by His Spirit in your inner man. And may you, through the understanding of the Spirit, begin to comprehend how much He really loves you. The full depth of God's love for you. May He watch over you, and may you find your strength and your help in Him.
If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. This intimate letter written by Paul while in prison is full of riches available to every Christian. In the Word for Today resource, Philippians Bible Study, follow Kay Smith as she takes you on a verse-by-verse discovery of the truths that enabled Paul to worship in shackles, rejoice in persecution, and walk joyfully through life's darkest places. You can order this book at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for songs. It's not the way it used to be.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.